He is risen. Today we will follow the order of service that's printed out in your bulletin. We begin by singing hymn 199, Jesus Christ is risen today. Hymn 199. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come into your presence this day to seek your mercy, to hear your word, and to offer up our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Amen. For our psalm today, we read Psalm 130, and we will read this together in unison. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Let us therefore confess our sins unto the Lord, and look to him for mercy and forgiveness. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible also tells us in 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God. And in the name instead of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, I proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We continue by singing hymn 252, We All Believe in One True God. Our first scripture reading for today is recorded in St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 15, beginning at the first verse. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized from the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have this knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The second Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. But I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I ask you to please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Since I got carried away with the epistle and read the whole chapter instead of the verses that I was going to read, I will read the assigned gospel for today, Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the white side, on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Here ends our reading of the Holy Gospel. You may be seated. We continue by singing hymn 203, Morning Breaks Upon the Tomb.
Thank you.
The word of God, which we consider today, is recorded in the book of Job in chapter 19, verses 23 through 27, where we read, "Oh, that my words were written, oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." I ask you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we pray again your Holy Spirit's guidance and blessing on the speaking and the hearing of your word this day, that we might be strengthened in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might take comfort in his resurrection, knowing that indeed he paid the price for our sins. And indeed, as he promised, he is coming again and will raise us up unto life everlasting. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I ask you, and I know we talked about this a little bit in Bible class, about tombstones. Have you ever considered what words you would like on your tombstone? And it might sound a little bit morbid to speak about words on a tombstone on Easter Sunday morning when we're celebrating the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead and the tomb was empty, as will our tombs be on the last day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. But in light of Jesus' resurrection, it's really not morbid to speak of words which we might put on our tombstone which speak of hope. And of course, I don't know whether it will happen or not, though I have talked to Lonnie about maybe we ought to make sure we have the right plots reserved and maybe even get the tombstone that we want to be put there so our kids don't decide to do something else. I don't want to be a piece in somebody's closet if I can help it. So whether or not it'll happen, I don't know, but the words I would really like engraved on my tombstone are not any words about me and what I've done, but these words of Job. "I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth, and after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another." Why would I want to put these words on my tomb? Why did Job speak these words? It is because death is not the end. Because our Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died for our sins and then rose again on the third day, we have hope. Not just an I hope so, but a certain hope, something that we are waiting for. We have hope in the resurrection of the dead. It is, as St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Because Christ was raised up from the dead on that first Easter morning, we have the certainty that we will also be raised up when our Lord Jesus Christ returns on the last day. Again, he is the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. We might consider the words that Peter wrote in his first epistle, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Notice that Peter is blessing and praising God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again, caused us to be born again to a living hope. through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so our hope is based on the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead. And that living hope is to an inheritance in heaven, which, as he says, is incorruptible and undefiled, unlike anything we have here in this world that, you know, it can be here one day and gone the next, or certainly be corrupted. This is inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for us. And we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It even assures us that God is at work in us to keep us in the true faith so that we don't fall away, so that we don't lose these blessings by turning away from Christ. And so indeed, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who raised his Son and will raise us up on the last day. So because Jesus rose from the dead on the third day after suffering and dying on the cross to pay the just punishment for our sins and the sins of the world, because the tomb was empty when the women arrived to anoint the body of Jesus, because he appeared to the women, to Peter, to two on the road to Emmaus, to the 11 in the upper room on at least two occasions, in Galilee, to his disciples, and even to more than 500 people at one time, most of who were still alive when Paul wrote his epistle to the Corinthians, you and I can have hope in the certainty of our resurrection on the last day. Before he died on the cross, Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14, because I live, you will live also. If you think about those words, they wouldn't have much meaning if Jesus' body were still lying in a grave outside of Jerusalem. But they have great meaning because the tomb was empty, because God raised up his Son from the dead. The Bible tells us that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, we would be still dead in our sins. We would have no hope of being raised up. That our loved ones who died in the faith before us would have perished. They would be lost forever. But then St. Paul goes on to say, But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And so as Jesus was raised, first fruits, we will be raised in the final harvest on the last day. The Bible also tells us in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, and we talked about this a week or two ago, that Lord Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. The reason he suffered and died on the cross, the reason he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Was because your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world had been laid upon him. As Isaiah says, you know, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so Jesus suffered there for the sins of the world, and he was raised for our justification, in order that we might be justified through faith in him. His resurrection is proof that indeed God accepted his sacrifice on the cross as full payment for the sins of the world. The words Jesus said on the cross when he said, tetelestai, or it is finished, meant that the price was paid. It was done. There's nothing you and I can add to it. Jesus has done it all. God accepted his sacrifice. And through faith in Jesus, we now can be declared just and righteous. And so God essentially declared, now there is pardon and forgiveness available to all. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that pardon, that forgiveness is yours, and you are my child, and you have an eternal inheritance in heaven. And so Jesus was paid in full for our sins. He was raised up on the third day, showing God accepted his sacrifice. showing that through faith in him we are indeed declared just and righteous, acceptable to God, and we have the assurance that we who believe in him will be raised up on the last day to the eternal joys of heaven. Therefore, we can say with Job, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth, and after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. And so though we, one day die, that our bodies decay in the grave, we have the certainty that because Jesus was raised up on the third day, that our risen Savior will raise up our bodies to life, that we will see him who died for our sins and rose again to give us life everlasting, and we will be like him. John wrote in his first epistle in chapter 3 at verse 2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Or as I read to you from Psalm 17 in our Bible class this morning, in the last verse of that Psalm, verse 15, are these comforting words of David. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. Very much like Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold. So as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. And so today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we celebrate it not just because the tomb was empty. We celebrate it because it means that we will be raised up. That God has graciously forgiven our sins for Jesus' sake when we trust in Jesus as our Savior. And that God will raise us up to everlasting life. And so we can say, as the hymn we're about to sing says, I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. We pray. O my risen Savior, grant that I live and die in the confidence which your resurrection gives, and raise me up on the last day to the eternal joys of your kingdom. Amen. We sing hymn 200. Thank you. I ask you to please stand and join in the prayers of the church. Precious Savior, Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you that by your suffering on the cross, you endured the very agony of hell for us, and that by your death you have reconciled us to God. But on this day, we especially thank and praise you for your resurrection from the dead, for it proves that you are God's Son and seals your sacrifice as the full payment for our sins. O Jesus, may we never cease to praise you with our hearts and lips for all that you have so graciously done for our salvation. Ever-living Lord, as you were raised up and glorified in your body, raise us up by the Spirit from the spiritual deadness to trust you with all our hearts and to serve you in godliness all our days. Fill our hearts with joy as we look with longing to that day of your glorious reappearing when you will raise all the dead from their graves. Comfort us with the knowledge that on that day our vile body shall arise in the likeness of your glorious resurrection body. Our Savior, we need you every moment of every day. Be with us and shower upon us your promised grace and blessings. As our exalted prophet, instruct and encourage our hearts with the gospel of forgiveness and help us grow in our faith and knowledge of salvation. As our exalted high priest, hear us when we pray in your name and intercede at our Father's throne in our behalf. As our exalted King, watch over us day by day, protecting us from all danger, guarding and keeping us from all evil. Preserve us to your heavenly kingdom by granting us daily repentance and renewal of faith. O Jesus, our beloved friend, whose continual presence has been promised to us, be at our side in all troubles. Give us strength to bear them and wisdom to overcome them. Grant us grace to endure every sorrow that comes our way and courage to cope with every disappointment. You are the help of the helpless, who lifts up those who are fallen. Therefore, comfort and relieve us according to our individual needs. As we travel the hard road of suffering and sorrow, may we learn to love you more and eagerly await the treasures you have reserved for us. All this we ask to the glory of your name, O triumphant Christ, who lives and reigns forever. Amen. We join in the prayer that our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." If you would turn to page 28 in the front of your hymnal, we sing the Agnus Dei. You all to come forward. The Lord bless you and you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. I ask you to please stand. Now may this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Amen. Takes away the sin of the world. We thank you for fulfilling all righteousness in our stead, and then taking upon yourself the guilt and punishment for all our sins, and making full atonement for us by your perfect sacrifice on the cross. We thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death, and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true faith, and move us to live our lives for you while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You may be seated. We close by singing hymn 201. Thank you. Again, a welcome to all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was crucified for us, paid the price for our sins, and has risen again in victory. I often listen to other pastors and their sermons and learn things, and as they teach the scriptures, and an emphasis that one pastor made that I thought is kind of an interesting way to look at it. He said, Jesus Christ did not rise so the tomb could be empty. The tomb is empty because Jesus rose. The tomb points to the resurrection of Jesus, and so what we celebrate today is not so much the empty tomb, but we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, that he paid for our sins and has risen again in victory, and that we too will be raised up. Again, God's blessings to you, a blessed Easter. Thank you. Thank you.